Like for you to open up your Bibles to the book of James, James chapter 1. Again, that's James chapter 1. Last week, we looked at James 1:1-8, and we talked about being tempted. Tonight, we want to finish chapter 1. What we have learned so far is this book is credited to James, the brother of Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But later, James became one of the top leaders of the church. In verse 2, James said, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, known as trials and tests." In other words, let it be all joy to you when you undergo tests of every kind. And what you are experiencing is not punishment of something you have done. Remember the message Sunday, the conversation between God and Satan. God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job, who is perfect and upright and shuns evil? Many of the things you are tested on or with are based on what you say you believe. Things we have read and received is tried. When Job was considered, he didn't have Jesus as an example. Our test and considering is because of faith and because who has come and who has given us someone to believe in and on. We know we are naturally tempted because of our flesh. And by our faith, we are tried by the words we receive and believe. Remember verse 3, it said, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Meaning the trying of what you believe. Because you have the knowledge, the testing of your faith gives you the power of going on in hope. And the testing of your faith develops endurance. Verse 4 said that, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." When patience is complete, you are complete. Verse 5 said that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If your wisdom is inadequate, ask God who gives freely. Amen. Wisdom is to know how to apply what you understand. When it says he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it means he gives freely and without reproof or reproach. When you ask God in faith, nothing wavering, it means you ask God with confidence. If you don't have confidence or believe, don't expect anything. And again, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One writer said, "For there is a division in his mind, and he is uncertain in all his ways." Now let's look at James 1, starting at verse 9. "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Let a person in humble circumstances be glad that he is lifted up. But the man of wealth, he is made low, or he is humbled, because like the flower of the grass, he will come to his end." 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." We should never put our trust in riches or esteem ourselves higher or above who we are. Be grateful when you are lifted from a temptation, and give thanks when you are taken through a temptation.
Amen.
Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." There is a blessing on the man who remains firm during temptation. If he stands the test, if he has God's approval, he will be given the crown of life, which is the eternal life the Lord has said he will give to those who have loved for him. Mm-hmm. Listen to what Job in Proverbs says. "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Proverbs says, "Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Mm-hmm. Paul said this, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Amen. Peter said, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Mm-hmm. All these things are promised if we endure and continue. So let's be calm in the trials that are presented before us, because God is preparing us.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this: "All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, saints, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So how else would God be able to get us ready, if not by his word? Verse 13 of James 1 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away out of his own lust and enticed." When a temptation comes from your flesh, don't say God did it. And if there's something you want, don't try to tempt him with something that's wrong. For what comes from the world in the way of flesh is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. These things are not of the Father. He does not tempt us with them either. In verse 15, this is what happens when you surrender to flesh. "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Listen to this. Lust, which is the carnal appetite, brings sin. Love, which comes from God, covers a multitude of sin. Lust, because of this appetite, brings death. Love that comes from God brings life, which is eternal.
Yeah.
Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Mm-hmm. So look at verse 16 of James 1. "Do not err, my beloved brethren, or do not be deceived. Do not be turned from the right way. Men are quick to charge their sins on God. God is the author of all goodness. And since he is always himself, how could he be thought to be the author of evil?" Verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Here is an easier way to understand this. Whatever is good is from God. Whatever is evil is from man. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 explains what man is about. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 explains what God is about. Verse 18 of James says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Mm-hmm. We were birthed by truth. We were given life through the message of truth. So we can be the example to the world as Jesus was to us. Yeah. Ephesians 1 and 12 told us that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. How can we expect the world to trust God if we don't trust him ourselves? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We've shared this many times. Be swift to hear. Hear the whole matter out. Make sure you totally hear what is said before speaking. Put your ears in motion and your mouth on mute. Allow your mind to process what has been said, and allow God to speak to you on how to respond. Following this not only helps the person from getting angry, but it also helps you to avoid anger. Proverbs tells us, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. It also says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your anger cannot be compared with God's anger, and God does not need your anger to avenge his wrong. He does not need your anger to avenge your wrong. One writer explains this verse this way. It was not the wrath of God and the Son, but their love that redeemed man and established the perfect righteousness of God on earth. So it is not the wrath of man, but his love back to God that can work the righteousness of God acceptably to him. So since God cannot use our unrighteous wrath, since God cannot use our unrighteous judgment, we should remove these things from our character. Verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. All filthiness, meaning all evil conduct, superfluity of naughtiness, all the viral disease of your tongue, the things you speak and say that you should not, engrafted words, the teaching that already has been taught to you. Let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. You know what you should and should not be saying. You know what you should and should not be doing. You know what is and what is not right and wrong. So let's follow what we have been taught because we know that is right. Mm-hmm. Verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you hear truth and refuse to do it, you hurt yourself. Put away all dirty behavior. Put the message of the word into practice. Don't just listen to it. Do it. Mm-hmm. Verse 23 said, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Let me use this metaphor to explain this verse. A man wishes to see his own face and how it appears. So he looks into a mirror. He sees his real face with all the blemishes and imperfections. He is disturbed with his own appearance. He sees deformities that can be corrected. The spots of the impurities that might be removed. While he continues to look into the mirror and is affected and dissatisfied, he begins to wish himself different than what he sees. So he forms a purpose on how he can change his appearance. When he leaves the mirror, he soon forgets what he saw, because the mirror is now removed and his face is no longer reflecting what he sees. He can no longer recall or remember how disagreeable he appeared to himself, and forgets what he can do to change his appearance. For he behold himself in verse 24, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you listen to what the word says, and you do not practice it, you will end up like the man looking in the mirror. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessed is the man who looks carefully into the word of God, the man who listens to it and then puts it into practice. This man can change what he has seen in the mirror. The actions of this man shall be blessed. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The next admonition or reproof the word of God lays down is not only what you do well, but also how you speak. If you cannot restrain your tongue, all the other evidence of you being a Christian are worthless. A man may undoubtedly have many things in his character that proves and shows evidence that God exists in his life. But if he cannot control his mouth, if he continues to be quick to speak, if he continues to be judgmental with the mouth, he will find himself to be ineffective, an ineffective person in the kingdom and around others who is looking for life. Look at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. One of the things needed for those following the teaching of Christ is to care for those who need the help. In many cases, back then, the widows and fatherless were neglected, so much so as it was needful to make mention that they should be taken care of. Today, the world has created places that house them. Many are put in a home and forgotten about. Taking care of them is another way of practicing what the Word of God is teaching us. What is most important about this verse is what it says last: keep himself unspotted from the world. Or keep oneself untouched by the world. Or better yet, keep oneself uncontaminated by the world. Did you know if you have on a white garment and if you spill anything on it, it'll show? Did you know you are the light and you are in the light and darkness presented and it will appear on your garment? With a natural garment, blood, dirt, oil, grass, grease, or food, they all represent things that can stain a white garment. When your life as a Christian, hate, display, envy, malice, a dirty mouth are just a few things that can stain your garment or reputation. Let us remember this scripture we are supposed to be memorizing for this year. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, meaning for this reason, if any man be in Christ, if I am renewed with the Spirit of Christ, though my body is not new, my mind is renewed. Mm-hmm. I am surrounded by things that will help me, words that will free me, justify me, and cleanse me. Wherefore, I can now receive a kingdom which cannot be moved, and by grace, I can now serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.